Hello, Libra, and welcome to your rune reading. It's part of the Vision Quest series of readings. I've had these runes out now for days, and trying different ways of photographing them. And what you've got is a rune reading made of some rune stones made for me by a client, actually by a client's mom. And then these are the runes that hung out in a healing cave known as the Chironian in Rosendale, New York, for many years. That was a cave where I learned a lot of astrology and then did this initiation in July of 95. And so these are artifacts unto themselves. You'll see that they're different from the Ralph Blum runes, but this set does use the same pattern. Also, in this section, I will offer a couple of astrology afterthoughts, mainly in the form of responding to a series of questions by a reader. Not all the signs have questions. Doing my best to reel some in for all of them, but we've got some good ones for Libra that might help clarify things. So, these rune readings present a kind of a psychological spiritual formula. They are an extremely simplified notation system that brings things down to the basic elements. There are about as many runes as there are trumps major in the tarot. Three more, 22 trumps, 25, I believe, 25 runes. I got that wrong the other day. Maybe there's 24 runes. And they present us with a kind of a formulation, an equation to follow. And I've kind of been living this one out for a few days. And the formula it starts with, it basically says, you will go through a diversity of challenges and then you will come to a gateway and be able to go through it. And it will end with passing through a narrow passage and then ending up in a very wide space, motivated space. So this spread is read right to left, the traditional direction. A couple of them prior to this I've read in the other direction. The important thing is that you know what you're reading. And so this begins, this spread, five rune spread, pretty much the spread that I'm using for this, because it's a nice, clear equation. And the first rune drawn is Iwas, separating paths. And we've seen this now at least one other time. I don't have the Aries spread in front of me, but we've seen this in the Cancer reading. This is my third one of these. And this basically says it's time to go your own way. It's time to do what you need to do, and that can involve saying, okay, I'm taking this path, and everybody else is going to take that path, or I'm going to make my decision, and everybody else is going to decide what they decide, whatever that might be, and you do your thing. It may involve, at least temporarily, leaving certain people or ways of life behind, as they say in recovery, people, places, and things. So you have to decide what people, places, and things you need to leave behind and make your choice based on what you actually need to do. And then the next thing that comes up is the blank rune. That's the second one from the right. And in one of the photos, I had kind of decorated that with a little beautiful little rectangle of black stone. I don't even know what it is. It seems like some kind of onyx or obsidian. It's some silicaceous, beautiful texture thing, and it always reminds me of a combination of the blank rune and the monolith in 2001. And in any event, the blank rune is basically about letting go into the unknown. And this is sometimes scarier than it seems. Sometimes it seems scarier than it is. And we're not talking about some, you know, vast, huge unknown like being dropped on another continent where you don't speak the language and you have none of your possessions and no way to do business, right? No way to, you know, make money, and you've got to suddenly learn how to ask for a bowl of rice. Rather, this is a kind of a metaphorical unknown where you are consciously choosing to have faith when you are in unfamiliar territory, having made the choice to take this step. And so basically it's saying it's necessary to choose what may be the path less traveled, and then to trust that decision. And then here's where there are some challenges that are indicated, which is kind of where I've been hanging out for the past week and a half. One of them, the first one, is Issa, the rune Issa. That's the straight, it's the line that is straight up and down, and it is the letter I. Actually, it's the proto letter I, as can be seen, and it's called Issa, and it represents ice or frozen conditions, a place where it actually isn't possible to move very easily, where things may seem stalled or delayed. Maybe it is uncertain. You may be hesitating, but really, typically, the feeling of Issa is the sensation of not being able to move. It's interesting that this is the letter I. The letter I being a word in the English language, being self-referential word, and there is a kind of a dual connotation here. One is to be mindful of the potentially freezing quality of the word I, but also to recognize that it's only by coming back to yourself that you can, actually make a decision to keep going, a decision of what to do when there's multiple options, or in the case of Issa, where there seems to be no immediately viable option. And then when the movement returns, there's usually Issa is a sense of freezing followed by a sense of thawing. There is this really interesting rune called Nauthes, which is the rune of constraint. And I somehow have associated this rune with Libra, with its combination of Saturn and Venus rulership of Libra. And what this rune is about is, if you think of Issa as being the rune of the standstill, then Issa proceeds, but it's proceeding through a constraint, through a tight place. And there is a challenge, there's kind of a squeeze there, but it is better than, probably feels better than being stuck, and you just have to wiggle through that squeeze. And as presumptively Libra rising David Bowie said, turn and face the strain. I haven't commented enough on that song, but there's a reason that that song is so brilliant, and that it's because it is encouraging people to do what they typically don't do, which is to turn and face the strain and go through the change and evolve into the next phase of your being. And more often people arrive at the point of, for example, any of these runes, right? And it's a challenging sequence to go from separation to total trust to, oh, that didn't seem to work very well. Now I feel stuck. What good was total trust when I feel stuck all of a sudden? And then you get unstuck, and then suddenly you're going through a narrow path, and that's like, oh, great, I thought maybe it was better being stuck. And it turns out, no. Because if you stay on that narrow path, if you stay on that more challenging road of difficulty, of challenge, this leads to the opening. And the final rune in the sequence is one of my very favorites. It's called Kano, and it is the rune of the gateway, the opening, or of fire. And so it is. There is a breakthrough indicated there. It's the prototype of the letter K. You can see that it implies the letter K. If you just put a vertical next to that little arrow pointing to the left, and also the letter C. So you one beautiful thing about runes is you see the proto letters, and then you can start associating letters in the alphabet. For example, people's initials with things. You can do little rune readings on people's names without having to work too hard. The Nalthi's rune is clearly the letter N, the diagonal, only there's only one vertical. And Kano is K, and it is a fiery gateway. It is the kind of the opposite of Nalthi's, where you proceed through that narrow path, and suddenly you come to the gateway, and there is an opening, and there's a lot of energy, and that energy is fiery, and there's a sense of resolution, and there's a, if you look back, you think, wow, you know, it really was worth going through these steps. But what the steps indicate is there are steps along the way to getting where you want to be, contrary to the current cultural millennial thing about, I deserve to have paternity leave the first week I'm at work, or whatever the case may be. I don't need to be an apprentice. I should be a manager on my first day. Well, that's a lot of how the world feels right now. And actually, we do need a return to these older values. And one of the older values indicated in this spread is the sequence of events on the path of initiation. So again, to recap, it begins with separating paths, and that's saying that's getting the hard part out of the way initially, because really this is the decision. And as the Course in Miracles says, it's only the first few steps along the right path that seem difficult, and there's nothing worse than waiting, trying to figure out where the heck it is that you want to go. So once you take that, then there's a few steps that are difficult on the new path, the sense of the unknown. That makes sense, right? You choose this other way, and suddenly you're in the middle of the unknown. Ah, that's perfect. And then, well, what do? You might just pause and wonder, where the heck am I? And one of the commentaries on that is that it is a commentary to use delay for your benefit. So if you're delayed somewhere, make the most of it. Do something productive with that delay, rather than saying, "Oh shit, I'm delayed. I'm not going to do anything." Well, what can you do? Typically, there is something that you can do, even if it's like back up your disk drive or clean your desk, or you know, if you're on like a mysterious 12-hour layover in the airport, well, what do? You buy a book, or you start talking to people, figure out where to get food, and plot and scheme, and you do what you can from where you are. Then comes the lemon squeeze, Nalthi's, the having to endure something, and then again the opening. A great formula. It is quite well. We'll use a word I only use hesitantly, which is shamanic. It indicates this path of initiation. Fabulous thing, right? Okay, so them is the runes, the first reading with the Chironian set of runes. That was an extremely generous gift. I love the handmade things my clients send me, like paintings and clothing and stuff like that. I adore these runes, and somewhere I'll tell the story of the initiation in the Chironian. All right, which, by the way, involved very large fires in the bottom of a very deep, well, not the bottom, but kind of a perch in this huge cement mine. and in the middle of a forest and got these massive fires going and drummers going. And that's when I kind of declared myself an astrologer. And these runes have been read many times in that cave. All right. So, Libra reader wrote in. She got 45 minutes of Planet Waves FM in the edition of the 19th. So you might want to check in with her. And I did ask her to re-clarify what she was saying. So I've got this down to something a bit simpler than it was. And there's 3 points. She begins, patterns and questions. You say that I should look for patterns and be in fact-finding modes, ask questions and listen to the answers and not be overly conclusive. Could you share an example that would reflect this process? Is this process something that would apply to the outer world, inner space, or both? It's interesting to read a question like this where someone says, oh, how do I do something that seems so obvious to you, Mr. Coppolino, that doesn't seem very obvious to me? And really all I'm saying is pay attention, and by don't be overly conclusive, you know, don't assume that you're right, don't assume you're wrong, don't assume that you're stupid, don't assume you're smart, but assume that you are at least willing to make an effort and find out. And the part about questioning assumptions, right, which is, like, you know, have been generously encouraging people to do, is based on the observation that many people just come to a lot of conclusions that are not supported, and then they don't generally check their facts. They don't have not fact-checked and have not retraced the logic of their steps. And so, you know, the art of fact-checking is to continuously ask the question, how do I know this? Right? Fact-checking is not about proving. Fact-checking is merely about accounting for your presumptions, for your statements. And so when you start to fact-check, you start to question your assumptions and ask yourself this, the kind of the Zen question of journalism or law or investigating, which is, how do you know that? Who told you? Where did you read it? Where did you hear it? Where did you think it? What disparate set of facts led you to make that observation? And see, evaluate then whether your process of getting to where you are makes any sense at all. Fact-finding mode can also include, I mean, something as simple as you're going to take a vacation and you pick an island. You want to go somewhere, Bimini. Well, okay, what is that? What's there? Are you going to make your reservation on Trivago, or are you going to call up the Bimini Chamber of Commerce and talk to one of those Biminoids and say, hey, I'm American or whatever I might be, Brit, whatever, I want to go to this place I've heard about, and tell me where to stay, what's interesting, what's it like, who can I talk to, and ask questions. I do realize that as a journalist, I'm kind of like Kung Fu Man, and I immediately start, you know, questioning everything and asking people, like, well, how do you know that? Or what's that? Oh, who told you that? What's that detail? How long has that restaurant been open? Oh, are you the original owner or did you buy it? This is what I'm suggesting that you do for basically everything. And most important here is recognize when you haven't done it. This is going to be a big theme in the Capricorn reading because of the third house Pisces thing. So I'm about to do that. And it's necessary to be clear and know the facts that support your conclusion or your observation, and always leave yourself room to be wrong and not be afraid to be wrong. As soon as good information comes by, soon better information, be willing to accept that. Next topic, inner dilemma. What are the blind spots you speak of when you talk about mutable signs forming a pattern? How do they describe the elusive inner state? So this is another mindfulness thing. Let's get the chart out and see that, as I mentioned in the audio, I may have already covered this. It was a few days ago, but I may have already covered this. I have explained that your astrology tends to be focused on the cardinal cross. That's the signs Aries, Libra, Cancer, Cap. And for years now, there's been a heck of a lot going on the cardinal cross. And this has been presenting you with a kind of in-your-face reality. And meanwhile, over the past couple of years, more planets have emerged on the mutable cross, the one right before yours, right? So right before the sun is in Libra, the sun is in Virgo. And because the sun is in Virgo right before yours, it's therefore your 12th house. And that is the mutable cross in your chart. These are also called the cadent houses. I'm combining two concepts, but for you, they're both mutable and cadent. They're related. Cadent meaning the end phase before the beginning. And there's a heck of a lot of planets gathered on the mutable cross right now. And they're dancing around making a lot of aspects. For example, in the autumn equinox chart, there is the North Node in Virgo and Mercury in Virgo. And the moon is in Gemini. And then there's a collection of planets in Pisces. That would be Nessus. And then Neptune, the South Node, Chiron, Borsisi, and a bunch of other smaller ones. And then in Sagittarius, there is Saturn, we know about that, and there is Pholus and Mars, right? So there's a lot in this mutable cross. And what I described the mutable cross as being is the kind of room behind the room, or the parallel world that you're kind of always in, but it's not easy to get direct access to that parallel world. You can't always find your way back into a dream that was very vivid. But what you can do is you can practice mindfulness, and you can, which is just an exercise in being aware of your surroundings, being aware of what you're feeling beneath the surface layer, being aware of what you're thinking. If you're saying something and you get this sense that you're contradicting yourself, well, what are you really thinking? And how long before you bring that to the forefront? And so the mutable cross can represent this kind of behind-the-scenes world. And it's kind of like going to the theater. I mean, you know, we all love to go to the theater and see a play, a musical, a drama, whatever. And there are other people who are drawn to the side doors. There are other people, such as myself, who can find the back door of a theater anywhere. I can walk around in any city. You're like, ah, that's the back door of a theater. And what I'm suggesting is that you find the back door of the theater, basically, and go backstage rather than always hanging out in front of the stage. And you can practice this as a way of life. You know, you can ask to see the kitchen. I have a habit in hotels of always taking the fire stairs in at least once. Even if I'm up on like the 30th floor, I'll still take the fire stairs one time. So I'm familiar with the fire stairs in the event that I need them. It's a very slim chance that you're going to need the fire stairs in a hotel, but there is a chance that you'll need them. And they're kind of a behind-the-scenes place. I'm a big fan of service corridors, service elevators, all the behind-the-scenes places. And these, of course, correspond to your mind also, to your personal life. What is going on behind the scenes of your life? What is going on in the back room or the parallel reality? And the way to access this is often through meditation, through writing, through entheogenic experiences, through exploring, through dreams, through sexual experiences that take you off the normal spectrum of consciousness, right? And willingly go back there. And there can be the image of closet cleaning also. I mean, it's great fun to, you know, dump out your entire desk and sort it out and get rid of all the stuff and the sunglasses from 1995 that you haven't worn since then, and to kind of tidy things up and unclutter, declutter, dig things out, especially if you're the type who hasn't moved for a while. It can be quite refreshing and burden lifting to, you know, pull things out from behind the scenes. Even something like vacuuming under your bed can be helpful. Okay, the Chiron factor. Can you elaborate on the process journey of moving through from a mental block to integrity and purity? Are you saying there could be skipping some steps because of preconceived notions of how desires have seen and should be tackled? And so, to not hope I get somewhere where I think I should be, to honor exactly where I am now in terms of what I want. Okay, I'm not sure what this is pertaining to exactly, but let me at least comment on Chiron in the sixth, remembering that Chiron in the sixth has been a parallel experience with Neptune in the sixth. And somewhere in the collection, I'm going to write this down, there is better increased chances of it actually happening. There's an article called How to Cross a Fire, How to Cross an Ocean, How to Light a Fire. And this describes this process of this parallel, Aries and Pisces going on. And the thing about having all these planets in Pisces in the sixth, which is what Pisces is for you, is they can clutter up your cognitive process. And so it's necessary to get clear, to think clearly, and to, as I've been suggesting, be able to audit the steps of your own thought process. Neptune in the sixth is the classic case of misdiagnosis, or the, you have some malaise and the doctor says, I don't know what you have. That's how Neptune in the sixth feels. Chiron in the sixth is gives clear indication of what you need to follow, and often that can involve tracing the history, looking through the documentation. And so I'm suggesting that it's necessary to honor the intuitive piece of Chiron, Neptune, but to remember that Chiron is still there, and Chiron is saying, trace your steps, know the history, know the elements that comprise the thought pattern, the conclusion pattern that you're at. And again, kind of saying the same thing here. Don't be afraid to be wrong when new information comes around. Don't be afraid to say, that conclusion was not well done. It was based on a fallacy, and now I'm going to come to a new conclusion. Integrity, what I mean by integrity is that you integrate the different elements of your life. So living in integrity is not about like being one person at work and one person with your boyfriend or girlfriend and then one person with your parents and then one person with your friends and then one person when you're with your spiritual teacher. To me, integration leads to integrity, and that's about weaving together the seemingly different elements of who you are, remembering that you are one entity. And this is a good way to look at what it means to bring forward from the veiled mutable cross into conscious living. And as I mentioned, you know, in the previous recording, this is the nature of Jupiter in Virgo, because so much comes together with Jupiter in Virgo, and then You're doing a lot of this growth and processing behind the scenes, and then you embody all these changes, seemingly all at once, as if it just happened, but it didn't. You did it. And the more you do in advance, the more you make choices and use that rune of the separating paths to do the necessary sorting out, to decide things on one basis only. Is this helpful to you, or is it not helpful to you? And once you have that value established, you are in nice, clear territory where it's obvious what you need to do. Kind of like being at the end of a good therapy session where you see your choices and you know what values would lead you to make one choice over another. I think that's what I have to say so far. I've said a bunch, lots to think about here, and but I'm going to trust that that basically covers the territory. Thank you for your participation in this. This has been and continues to be one of the most growth-filled annual editions for me, and I'm looking forward to continuing to develop the themes. Definitely, if you can, check out other signs. You know, if you got all 12, check out all the signs on your cross, all of the cardinal signs, to see how these stories interweave. Just by studying the cardinal cross, you will learn as much as you need to know about the things that people come to relationships for, primary relationships to astrology for, their home life, their relationship life, and their career life. Only you'll get to see them as one thing. All right, with that, I will leave you, and I'm going to move on to the next of the cardinal signs, that being the mighty Capricorn, also co-ruled by the planet that co-rules Libra. That's the connection to your sign, because Libra's a really vibrant place for Saturn, and Saturn has a natural affinity with both Libra and Capricorn. Cardinal Cross, check it out. A pleasure working with you. You know where to find me. I love you, and bye for now.